Let's keep our Bible open to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. I'll draw your attention in particular to verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Cross bearers or crown wearers. Most of us, if not all of us, would like to wear the crown. But we do not want the cross. Don't tell me to bear the cross. But I would like to wear the crown. But the Lord would have us know, if there is no cross, there is no crown. And Spurgeon has a good saying. Spurgeon said, there are no crown wearers in heaven that were not cross bearers here on earth. And that's right. If we want to wear the crown when the Lord comes back, in heaven, even on earth, because we'll rule with him for 1,000 years. But we must right now bear or carry the cross. And there's much we can learn from this passage, particularly from the example of Peter. And over here, he set a bad example, but we can learn from his mistakes. Over here, we find Peter doing something very, very bad. Because here he took Jesus aside and rebuked the Lord Jesus. At first he did something very good. He said something very good and most excellent when the Lord Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter immediately was the one, and usually he is, you know, this gung-ho disciple, the first to speak. And then he gave the answer and said, thou art the Christ. Oh, that's an excellent answer. If he took, you know, if this was a question in my New Testament paper, well, Peter would get an A+. I mean, full marks. A+ answer over here. Most excellent answer. Thou art the Christ. In Matthew 16, we have a fuller statement. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's something that the Lord, God the Father had revealed to Peter most graciously. And so he gave an excellent answer and the Lord commended him. In Matthew 16, the Lord commended Peter for answering rightly. So he gave a very good answer, said something very good in verse 29. But in the next moment, he said something very bad. And after Jesus said this in verse 31, Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And what did Peter do? He spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And we know from Matthew chapter 16, Peter told the Lord Jesus, be it far from thee, all right? Don't even think about this. You must never do this. This must never happen. He told the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus rebuked Peter in front of the rest of the disciples. You are Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. So over here, we find Peter behaving very badly, saying something very bad against the Lord. And why did he do it? What was Peter's problem? Well, Peter's problem was this. He wanted to wear the crown without having to bear the cross. But that was his problem. He wanted the crown without the cross. Now, Peter gave a very good answer when he confessed that Jesus is the Christ. And you know the meaning of the name Christ, don't you? In fact, it is a title, not a name. Jesus is his name, but Christ is his title. And Christ means Messiah, the Anointed One. And as the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord was anointed prophet, priest, and king, all in one person. And he is not just prophet servant, or priest servant, or king who is servant, like the Old Testament prophets, priests, and kings. He was prophet's son. He belonged to a unique category. He, in relation to his father, and he is serving in all these ways as prophet, priest, and king to us and for us, but he is prophet, son, priest who is son, the son of God himself, and king who is son, the Christ, the son of the living God. Did Peter understand what that title of Christ means? He confessed it, thou art the Christ. It looks like he did not understand it completely. He might have believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ as prophet, prophet of prophets. And there was one time, Peter himself told the Lord Jesus, when the multitudes left the Lord Jesus, and the Lord asked Peter, the Lord asked his disciples, are you also going to leave me? And Peter, again, was the one, right, very forward to answer, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that's, again, another A-plus answer on the part of Peter. Very good answer. Lord, we follow you not because of our stomach. We follow you because, yes, we believe on you in our heart. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And to whom shall we go? There's no one like you. Thou art the Christ. And with you are the eternal words of life. That's why we follow you. So for Peter, he believed and accepted the Lord Jesus as prophet. And I'm sure he knew that as Messiah, the Lord Jesus is going to be king. For he will be and must be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when the Lord comes back, well, that's what he will do. He will destroy the Antichrist and all those who rebel against him, and he will set up his kingdom here on earth and rule over this whole world for 1,000 years. And this is not only taught to us in the New Testament. A lot of it is found in the Old Testament. So Peter knew this. Yes, there is this messianic prophet like Moses who is to come, who will tell us very, very wonderful and good things, words of eternal life, everlasting life. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. And that's why we follow you. Yes, he believed on Jesus as prophet. That's fine. Yes, Jesus as king, also very good. Because when he rules, I will also rule with the Lord Jesus. He wanted the crown. But the priesthood of Jesus, I'm sure Peter would have some idea on the priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. But the priesthood of Christ, he cannot accept totally. And as our priest, what must the Lord Jesus do? As our priest, the Lord Jesus stands between us and God. He is our mediator. And there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And to be a mediator, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, must become the Son of Man to represent us and then to be our substitute. Now, God cannot die. Only man can die. And for man to be saved, well, there must be this atonement this death. And the only one who is sinless, who can save us from our sin, is God Himself. And in order to die for our sins on the cross, to have blood flowing in His body so that He can shed the blood for the remission of sin, well, God must become man. To be our representative, to be our substitute, to be nailed to the cross to shed His precious blood. Right? And so He's our great high priest. And not only our great high priest, you know, in the Old Testament, the priest cannot be the sacrifice, cannot atone for the sins of the people. In fact, the high priest like Aaron and those who succeeded him, they were sinners themselves, and before they can offer for the people, represent the people, they have to offer a burnt or sin offering for themselves, that their sins would be cleansed first before they can enter into the most holy place to make atonement. A high priest cannot be, the high priest of the Old Testament cannot be our Savior. But here you have our great high priest, who is not only our priest, he's also the sacrifice himself, the Lamb of God. Right? The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He is not only priest, he is also the Lamb sacrifice. And of course, all this speaks of his suffering. Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament speaks of our suffering Savior, the suffering servant. It's a lamb that was led to the slaughter. He will not open his mouth willingly, voluntarily, lovingly. He will go, right? Go to the cross to die for our sins. So this is not something new or something Peter would not have known. The very fact that he can say that the Christ, the Son of the living God, would mean that he understood Jesus was the anointed prophet, priest, and king in a very special way in one person. And this man who is also God himself, fully God, fully man, in one person who will do all these things. But, you know, he wanted to pick and choose what he wanted to believe and what he wanted to follow. Okay, I want his words, which give me eternal life. I want his kingship, but I don't want all that suffering. You see, we cannot pick and choose the Lord Jesus. And there are those today who say, well, I want Jesus as my Savior, but for Jesus to be my Lord, no, I don't want. Right? There are those who deny the Lordship of Christ in salvation. Well, I'm glad he died on the cross. Yes, I believe on him. I want him to save me from my sins, forgive me of all my sins. I want my place in heaven. But right now, for him to be my Lord, to control me, to rule over me, to tell me what to do, what I can do, what I cannot do, there are so many commandments in his word. No, I don't want. I only want John 3:16. But Exodus 20, all the commandments. No. Not for me. Right? There are those who say this. And then there are those who teach easy believism. Yeah, believe in the Lord Jesus. He's Savior. But the Lordship of Christ, well, they keep it at a distance. They pick and choose what they want to believe about the Lord Jesus. You can't do that. Peter over here tried to do that. He wanted only part of the Christ. He didn't want all of the Christ. And not only that, he even tried to prevent Jesus from fulfilling his redemptive mission. When Jesus said, I must suffer many things, verse 31. And be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Why? Now, Peter just said a very glorious thing about the Lord Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Christ, the Son of the living God, says the Son of Man must suffer many things. No, I don't want that. Lord, you cannot suffer. You must not suffer. And Peter was really thinking of himself. Because if the Lord were to suffer, it means we also must suffer. But I don't want to suffer. I don't want any suffering. I want power. I want position. Why do you talk about suffering over here? Because if you are going to suffer and then be rejected and then in the end die, then what I have in my mind of all the position and the power and the popularity and the prosperity that I want will all vanish into thin air. I don't want to suffer. I want position. I want power. I don't want to be rejected. The Lord Jesus here says, I will be rejected of the elders. I don't want to be rejected. I want to be popular with people. I don't want people to reject me or despise me. I want people to accept me. And also, I want to be popular with people. And then the Lord Jesus says, he must be killed. No, I don't want to be killed. I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to prosper. I want to have all the health and the wealth that's out there. Are there Christians today who think like this? They want the crown all the time. They don't want the cross. And then they always speak of the grace of God. Right? The grace of God. The crown. They don't talk about the law of God. They don't talk about how we must suffer for the Lord as well. The cross. Let's not talk about the cross. The health and the wealth, the prosperity, gong si fa chai kind of a gospel. And there are those who come to church, they like to hear that. And if the preacher were to talk about the cross, well, I'll sack him immediately. Right? Well, here the Lord Jesus had to sack Peter. Rebuke him. Well, Peter here had the audacity to take Jesus aside. You know, just like parents, when the children are naughty, right? Take the children aside and then give them a good what? Scolding lecture when they misbehave. Actually here, Peter, you know, what is described here is quite vivid. He took Jesus aside and gave him a shelling, a lecture. What are you talking about? And here Peter is really trying to play God. I mean, he just confessed, God the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And as such, the Lord knows all things. The Lord can do no wrong. And this was what the Lord said. The next moment, he took the Lord aside and say, Lord, I don't think you're very smart. I'm smarter than you. Right? Don't do this. Must never happen. And he was thinking of himself. All the pride, all the selfish ambition in him. He coveted the things of the world. That's why the Lord Jesus said, you are Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, because you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Carnal things, worldly things, fleshly things. It's all about I, me, myself. He was not thinking of the Lord. And then he even dared to, had the audacity to take the Lord aside and then rebuke him. Rebuke. Rebuke means rebuke. I mean, gave him a scolding. Hope none of us will ever do this or even think of doing this. But that was what Peter did. You know, in Hokkien, we call this bo tua bo sui, right? How dare he do this? He was trying to play God. God, you know, he's telling the Lord Jesus, I don't want to fit into your divine program. I have my own program. You must fit into my program. I want power. I want position. I want popularity. I want prosperity. And you are going to get me there. You must fit into my program. And now you say you want to do all these things, and then, well, that is not part of what I want, not my program at all. And he wanted to play God and even try to stop the Lord Jesus from doing what he must do to save all of us from sin. And that's why, and of course, this is satanic, this very proud speaking and even pulling Jesus aside and rebuking him is satanic. And that's why the Lord Jesus had to rebuke Peter so severely. In verse 33 we read, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples," so Peter took Jesus aside and then rebuked the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord turned about, and now he faced the rest of the disciples, right? And then he rebuked Peter. He rebuked Peter publicly. Although Peter took him aside and privately rebuked him, now the Lord publicly rebuked Peter. Why? Because the Lord knew Peter was not the only one thinking like this. Probably the other disciples also had the same kind of thinking. We know of one episode where, you know, James and John, what did they want from the kingdom of God? "Lord, we want to sit on your left hand and on your right hand." The left hand and right hand seats of power. And the other disciples were very angry, right? Upset with them. How can you do that? If you occupy these two seats, how about us? Where will we be? How dare you go and ask all these things, you know? And they were also quite upset. And Judas also had grand plans for himself, but he was truly a scoundrel, reprobate, hated the Lord Jesus, and later betrayed him. But the rest of the disciples were true believers, but sometimes true believers can behave very badly. We must not allow ourselves to be like this. Yes, there are times, you know, when we do behave so badly, we should strive never, never to fall into sin. Even, you know, to sin like Peter over here, that the Lord had to rebuke him publicly. And the Lord's rebuke was very serious. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because why, Peter, you are thinking, you are speaking, you are behaving like the devil over here. "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And over here, when the Lord told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, please understand that the Lord is not saying that Peter is demon-possessed or possessed by the devil. Okay. Peter was a believer. Peter was born again. At this juncture, I'm quite sure he was indwelt by the Spirit, because if he was not indwelt by the Spirit, he could not make this good confession in the first place, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was a true believer. But he behaved very, very badly because he was influenced by the devil. Not indwelt by the devil, not controlled by the devil, not possessed by the devil. Because as believers, we already are indwelt by someone else, someone greater, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit himself indwells us. And since we are already possessed by the Holy Spirit, no wicked or evil spirit can ever take possession of our body and control us. Right? So no Christian can ever be demon possessed. But we can be what? Oppressed. We can be tempted. We can be influenced by the devil. When we are not careful with our lives, We are worldly in our thinking. We are living in the flesh. We are not reading the Bible. We are not praying. We are very self-centered. We think of our own ambition, personal ambition, not only in the world, but also in the church. We don't think of the glory of God at all. It's all about I, me, myself. And when we think like this, we feel like this, we allow the world to influence us and the sin to take over us. Oh, Satan also comes in the picture. And he will add fuel to the fire and cause us to sin, and sin all the more. Because he wants to destroy us. And that was what happened to Peter. He allowed the devil to take hold of his thinking, of his heart, to influence him, not only to sin, but also to go against the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." In other words, get out of my sight. I don't want to see you. "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Dear friends, we must be very, very careful. Now, Peter over here, when the Lord Jesus said this to him, what do you think he was feeling? I think Peter must have been shocked by what Jesus said. "You are Satan, get thee behind me, Satan." I think he must have been shocked. And I also believe he must have been convicted of his sin. I don't think over here that Peter got angry with the Lord. Now, there are times we sin against God, and when we have sinned against God and the Lord rebukes us through his word. Or the Lord rebukes us, the Spirit convicts us of our sin through the pulpit ministry, through the preaching and teaching of God's word through a pulpit. And the Spirit is speaking to your heart and rebuking you, trying to chastise you and correct you. How should you feel? You should feel very sorrowful and remorseful and repentant. You will want to desire to say sorry, confess your sin to God, and want to repent and pray for forgiveness. And do that which is right. You will be angry with yourself, not with God. And if you feel in this way, that's a good feeling. But if you get angry with God when you are rebuked, then you better examine yourself whether you are truly born again or not, truly saved or not. You know, those who profess faith, they say they are Christians. They are not. They are not. And how do you know? The heart. How do you respond? Are you angry with God? Are you angry with yourself? Peter here, I believe, was not only taken aback, but I think he was quite repentant. He learned his lesson. You know, later on, he would deny the Lord 3 times. And after that, he was weeping, crying like a baby because he felt so bad after the Lord looked at him. Because in his heart, he's truly loved the Lord. But in a moment of weakness, you see, he cowardly denied the Lord. Over here, right, he allowed himself to be filled with worldly ambition and allowed Satan to have a foothold in his thinking, in his heart, and then he said all these bad things. But after the Lord said this, "You are Satan, get thee behind me," and you are not loving God, you are loving yourself, I believe Peter repented. Peter learned his lesson. And how do we know this? Because, very interestingly, later on, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter wrote an epistle, right? In 1 Peter. And what did he say about the devil? Right? Here, I don't think Peter ever forgot what Jesus says. You are Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't think Peter ever forgot these words. Oh, Satan is so active and so lively, and really, he ate me up. And that's why in 1 Peter chapter 5, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Many of us, I'm sure, know this verse and might have even memorized this verse. It's a good verse. You should underline it. Let us read together. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter here speaking, and then he warned us, right? And here he told us what? To be what? Let's read together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I was a victim. I did something very bad because I allowed the devil to take a foothold of me. And the Lord rebuked me severely. Get thee behind me, Satan. So you better make sure you are sober, you're vigilant, be on your guard, protect your mind, your heart, yourself. Because the devil, as a roaring lion, very fierce, enemy is walking about and he wants to eat you up. I was eaten up by him. So I believe Peter learned his lesson. He was very sorry, repented. We know that. And if you feel this way when you sin, then it's good. And if you confess your sin, it's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Peter wanted to wear the crown without the cross. Nothing doing. That's not God's way. You want to wear the crown? You must bear the cross first. So cross before crown. Right? So let's look at now verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you want to follow me, you must have the spirit of your Lord and Savior, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, and the Lord Jesus is what? Very humble, very meek. He who is God humbled himself to become man. Well, that's the Christmas message, right? God becoming man. God who is so high up, came down so low and so lowly, born of a virgin, lying in a manger, and in his life was humiliated, right? Humiliated by sinners, by us, and finally, you know, and cruelly nailed to the cross. You must follow the way of the Lord, way of the cross. Humility. Not pride. That's Satan's way. That's satanic. The way of Satan is the way of pride, which will get you nowhere, which will lead to your destruction. But you follow the way of Christ and of humility, it will lead you to salvation. So whosoever will come after me, you must deny yourself. I mean, you must become a big zero. I am hopeless, I am helpless. I cannot save myself. Only God can save me. And you cannot serve God and mammon. It's 100% God. 0% self. Not of works. You cannot boast. You cannot be proud over anything. All glory goes to God. He is 100% and you are just zero. Then there is salvation for you. Deny self, become zero. Humble yourself right to the dust, right? Don't try to save your face. Deface yourself. Don't have a Facebook, have a faceless book before God. Deny self. And then what must you do? You must also take up your cross. Now the cross is a symbol of suffering, of shame. Living the Christian life is not a bed of roses. Many trials, many temptations. The Lord suffered, so will we. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to walk in His way. And we are living in a very dark world that hates the light. And you are a Christian. You are shining the light. The darkness will hate the light. You'll be persecuted. You come from a non-Christian home. You go home, you tell your parents, I cannot worship idols anymore because there's only one living and true God. And Jesus, the only Savior, He died for my sins, rose from the dead. I have become a Christian. And some of you may have experienced this. You get a shelling, you have a beating, you may be disowned by your parents, kicked out of the house. And if you are an employee, you are a Christian now, you will not do the corrupt things your company wants you or your boss wants you to do. You get mocked or you even get sacked. You may lose your job. You may suffer many things on account of Christ. Are you willing to do that? To go through all this? That is your cross. Take up your cross and not only suffering, but even death. Are you prepared to die for the Lord? The Lord says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Are you willing? And Christians living in countries that hate Christianity, and they'll kill the Christians. It's not just persecution, it's execution. Are you prepared to not only deny self, but take up your cross of suffering, of shame, and even of sacrifice? And that may mean, you know, paying the ultimate price. Are you prepared? Are you ready? And then you take up your cross and you follow the Lord Jesus. He's your only Savior. He's your only Lord. And He must be captain of your life. You just follow Him closely, walking in the straight and narrow way. Then you are worthy of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this way, the way of the cross, will lead to salvation. Not easy, but at the end, there's a whole lot of blessing. You walk in the broad way, Satan's way, it is destruction. So it must be the cross before the crown. And then verse 35, the Lord Jesus says, and for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now you may be a multi-millionaire. Now today we don't talk about millions of dollars. We talk in terms of billions of dollars, right? Maybe a multi-billionaire. You may have gained the whole world. How about your soul? The end of it all, when you die, you spend eternity in hell or in the lake of fire. What is the use? It's tragic. You work so hard for yourself to amass all the riches, all that money, all that property, all the material things that you have. And even no matter how rich you are, you can never buy what? You can never buy happiness, joy, peace. These things are priceless. You can't buy all these things. And what more? Eternal life. No amount of money in the world can get you that. And then you have all these things. In the end, when you die, you end up with nothing. And not only nothing, you spend eternity in the lake of fire. What's the use? Don't be like the rich fool. Remember the rich fool Jesus talked about? He was so rich, he worked so hard, and then made, you know, a ton of money, a whole lot of money, and then he had not enough even to put all his goods. So he pulled down his old barns and built new ones and bigger ones. And then at the end he says, I can now take it easy. Eat, drink, be merry. And what did the Lord say? You are a fool. This night, tonight, your soul is required of you. You die. And then you spend eternity where? In hell. And you end up with nothing. Truly, it's foolish. But the cross is wisdom. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You rather be rich for eternity than to be only rich for a short time right now and then be a pauper, beggar for eternity. You want to be rich, right? Your treasures should be in heaven, which will last forever. We are poor here, never mind. We suffer right now and our sufferings on this earth only for a short time. And make sure when we suffer for righteousness' sake. And there are Christians, they say they believe in Jesus, but behave so badly. And they behave so badly that they hurt and do damage to the name of Christ. And shame his gospel. Well, recently we read in the papers, isn't it? NKF case of the CEO who is a Christian. And not only a Christian, he is an elder of a church. And not just any church, BP Church. Allegedly committing a sexual crime. And then, of course, that's it. He was removed. And the name of Christ is shamed. He may be going through a lot of suffering right now and a lot of shame, but the kind of shame we don't want to have. Because this kind of shame shames the name of Christ. The cross is a cross of suffering and shame, but you suffer not for evil you know, that you have committed. You want to suffer for righteousness, for Christ's sake. When you are shamed because you believe in God and His Word, and you want to live a godly and Christian life, and people mock you and revile you and persecute you and say all manner of things against you falsely, that kind of shame will bring glory. That's the cross that we are supposed to bear. If you suffer in that way, good, because it will bring glory to God. It's good for you. But this kind of a suffering for sin, for evil that is done, and you are Christian and leader of a church, and this happens, God forbid that this should happen to any of us here. Now, we don't rejoice over such things. We feel very sad. And we also must be mindful because this can also happen to us if we are not careful. It can happen to us. Don't say, oh, it's he, you know, that church, you know, that liberal BP church. It can happen to any one of us. And we must be very watchful. We must be very careful. Peter told us, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he will eat us up very quickly if we just let our guard down. And I pray you are being sanctified daily. Sanctified through the pulpit ministry, Sunday after Sunday. Sanctified through your own personal quiet time and devotions. The Lord sanctifies us through His Word. Prayer is also a means of grace. Are you doing that? Keeping yourself sanctified, protected, so that you don't allow Satan any leeway, foothold, to catch you unawares and then cause you to sin, and then it can be just one quick failure, and then you may have a long time, a lifetime to regret it. Don't let it happen. So make sure we suffer for the Lord. We bear our cross in the right way. And when we bear our crosses, then one day we will wear the crown. The Lord Jesus comes back. You know, Peter was not wrong to think of wearing the crown, right? But the problem is he got the timetable mixed up. Because the first coming of Christ was to be the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. Jesus will come one day. It is his second coming where he will come with his crown. Now he comes with his cross. Next time he comes with his crown. And he will come to judge the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we who belong to him, who have suffered for him in this life, who are bearing the cross, when he comes, we will wear the crown. And we will be judging also with him and ruling the whole world with him. And not yet, but it will come soon. But it's always what? Cross first and then the crown. Not crown without cross, but cross before crown. So may we remember this and make our life count for the Lord. And he has promised to be with us. He's present with us. And then he's very powerful also. He also promised us his power. So walk with the Lord. Walk closely with him. Yes, we are cross bearers. And when we are cross bearers, we will be crown wearers. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. And we thank thee for this truth. We pray, O Lord, you will forgive us of the times we have failed you and have broken thy commandments, went against thy word. Father, we are very sorry. And we pray, O Lord, you'll forgive us through the precious blood of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, make us strong and keep us holy and help us to be faithful to thee, be faithful even unto the end, even unto death, and we know we will have from thee a crown of life. So Lord, as we prepare ourselves for Holy Communion, we pray, O Lord, we may commune with thee in a most holy manner, and also our fellowship one with another would be good and sweet. It would be provoking one another unto love and good works. So bless this church and bless thy people here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.